You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We've been talking some XFL. Game one in the books. First weekend is finished business, and we get a chance to talk to the quarterback of your Seattle Dragons. He joins us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. I'm assuming he had a good time out there. Looked like everybody was having fun, but he can tell us for sure. Brandon Silvers is here. Brandon, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are y'all?
We're good. Give us a sense of what that was like. You know, we were talking about all the things we liked about it during the broadcast and the rules and all of that, but everything's new for you as well, right? You guys haven't had a lot of padded practices out there. It's a timing and rhythm, all of that. Everything had to feel remarkably new. Was it comfortable, or did it have to take a little bit of time before it started to get comfortable?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, it's definitely the start of new football season. It's always, you know, not as the same as the last one. So, going into the game, we really didn't know what to expect with the DC team. We had a preseason game against them, but they weren't showing us much, and we didn't either. So it was kind of just get in the game and having a bunch of adjustments and just playing football.
All right, and Brandon, you're not allowed to answer this. Anybody know the mascot for Troy?
Not off the top
Brandon,
of my head.
Give it to him.
The Troy Trojans.
Trojans, baby. Yeah. Tell us how you you got from Pensacola, Florida to Troy. What was and then, you know, take us beyond that, you know, your experience with the Memphis Express, New York Jets, and then now with the Seattle Dragons.
Yeah, so I grew up in Gulf Shores, Alabama. I don't know. I was born in Pensacola, so I guess I guess that's why they have Pensacola, Florida for me, which is the same type of area. I mean, I tell people I'm from Pensacola when people ask me out here, so they kind of figure out where I'm from, so. What part? But I grew up in Gulf Shores, Alabama. My mom went to Troy. My uncle played at Troy there in the mid-'80s. They actually won a Division II national championship. So I don't know. I just always thought, you know, I always went to their games growing up. And so when they offered me, I was still trying to get other offers, but, you know, I decided to go to Troy at the end.
And how about your trips through in a little bit with the Jets, the Memphis Express in 2019, and then, finally with the Dragons? It's pretty cool to have this league where you can get reps, because you know this. It's one thing throwing 7-on-7, things like that, but a chance to – and then, you know, being able to work with Jim Zorn, one of the great lefties of all time. But, it's very cool. I'm happy for you. But, you know, it must seem like a really cool opportunity to be able to get reps.
Yeah, anytime you get another opportunity to play football, especially, you know, getting cut by, you know, I got cut by the Jets. So anytime you can play any football after you're done with an NFL organization and actually playing games, you know, it's awesome. Just grateful for the opportunity to be out here and learn from Coach Jim Zorn. And it's been really fun since I've been out here. I love the city. We're focusing downtown, really. So you've just been walking everywhere to meetings, stuff like that. Something I've never done before. So it's a cool experience.
Hey, Brandon, I really enjoyed the game. And you had the first touchdown pass in XFL history. I'm just wondering, we were talking earlier about the rules, and I got a kick out of all these different rules. Did you like most of them?
Yeah, I like the new rules. I couldn't tell you every one of them because there's just so many of them. So I only try to keep up with a few of them. The two-minute, that helps out the offense if they're trying to go score. You know, they don't run the clock, even if it's the plays in bounds. They'll stop the clock till 20 seconds is left on the play clock. I thought that's pretty cool. So it's definitely different, but, you know, in the end, it's still football.
Well, and then the point after touchdown where you can go for one from the 2-yard line, a 2-point conversion from the 5, and then a 3-point conversion from the 10. Brandon, did you realize that not a single XFL team went for the 3-point conversion? And if you could do me a favor, tell Jim Zorn that when you have the home game against the Tampa Bay Vipers, I want to see somebody go for 3. Let's go for 3. What do you say, Brandon?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of people going for 3 unless they have to, and you don't really want to be down late in the game anyway. So I don't see a lot of people going for 3 unless it's later in the game and they need it. But, yeah, it'll be exciting. We need to do a little bit better on our extra points. I think we were 1-for-3 in the game Saturday, so we need to figure some things out and, you know, get better at those.
Hey, you know what? Tell Zorn that it came from Jim Moore, and then he'll understand.
Well, come on. Come on, let's have a wild hair and go for three. I mean, I think it'd be fun. Is it just so much harder to go from the 10-yard line? Because someone was saying on Twitter, well, everybody knows they're going to throw the ball, so it's a harder to get in. I don't know. I just would like to see more three-point conversions. That's all.
Yeah, it's just going to be – those are just going to be tough. You know, it's just like you're 4th and 10, you know, going in and you having to score a touchdown. That's how the three-point is. You know, that's hard to do. It's 4th and goal from the 10. That's, you know, pretty hard because they know – you have to get in the end zone. You just can't run the ball a few times to get in. You have to, you know, make a score on that actual play. So the 3 points, even though they're going to be the most exciting when people go for them, I don't think you'll see too much of those. But you never know.
Okay. It's 8 yards further, Jim. That's one.
I know.
Yeah. Brandon, you should just be happy that Jim's not your coach here. There'll be some problems there. Hey, did you get a chance to watch the TV copy and hear the dialogue going back and forth? I mean, you know, we as fans were able to sit and watch and hear the play calls and then hear the replay officials discussing plays. Did you get a chance to see any of that yet?
I saw a few of them from clips of certain plays and stuff. I haven't really gotten to sit down. We flew back right after the game, didn't get to see the Saturday night game. And then yesterday we were having meetings and treatment and stuff like that. So I haven't really sat down and watched the game or any of them yet. So,
okay. And then the other thing that I thought was, it felt a little awkward at times were the sideline interviews where they were going up to guys after good plays and sometimes after bad plays. And hey, what happened there? And having to do that interview right there after a good or bad play. How do you feel about those?
Yeah, I felt. I think they're pretty awesome to do right after like a good play. But for me, I know my buddy Austin Prohl, he got one after one of his touchdowns. Me, I got one after the pick six. I mean, he, you know, it slipped and fell. So it's kind of, you know, it's just bad luck, I guess. You know, it happens in football. So I got it after, you know, the pick six. And I was kind of like, oh, you know, you just got to move on, you know. So maybe if it was, you know, all my fault the next time, I probably wouldn't want to interview. But but I'm just thankful, you know, we have sideline reporters. You know, I think that's a pretty cool aspect of the game.
Yeah, I think so too, and also, I think we're going to be surprised here to see, you know, the stadium for the home game, but it was a pretty good crowd there in D.C.
Yeah, that was great fan experience. And that's what I told the guys after the game. It's like, you know, I played in the Lions League, and you know, it wasn't as big as the XFL is even already. So you know, it's all about the fan experience and fans being in the stands. Because we don't want to go out there and play with nobody in the stands. That's no fun. You know, even if you're going on the road, you want a packed out house playing on the road. So I'm just enjoyed my experience going to D.C. And it's a nice facility, too, in the Audi Field.
Yeah. How about your practice facility down there at Memorial? I've always thought I coached high school football down there. I always thought that was one of the coolest. You're right in the shadow of the Space Needle. What's your practice facility like? You loving that?
Yeah. We're liking it. It's, you know, just a monorail ride down, and, you know, it's right there downtown. So, you know, we're enjoying it. We have our own locker room space, own training staff and equipment room over there. So, you know, we're only there for, you know, 2.5-3 hours a day. So it's really good for it to be downtown so we don't have to bus in and out of downtown the whole time.
Man, you are the ultimate Seattleite now, man. You're taking the monorail.
He's the one.
Practice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, Brandon, what do you think it's going to be like Saturday when you host the Tampa Bay Vipers? I'm sure you've seen some Seahawk games on TV, and maybe you've even been to some there at CenturyLink Field, and always a good environment there. And they're expecting, what, 20, 25,000 fans there, so it should be a fun experience for you.
Yeah, I think they said they're opening up more seating too, so I think it's going to be close to 30,000 maybe. But I, you know, I've never been to a Seahawk game, but I've watched them on TV, and you know, I just know how Seattle is about their football and how the passionate they are for their football. So you know, we're excited to open up, you know, Saturday at home, get a win.
And it's pretty cool to hear, too, Maura Dooley, your sideline reporter, your local Dragon sideline reporter who works with us here. She produces our show. She told us that your parents are coming to every game this year. It must be fun to know that your folks are going to be there with you.
Yeah, my parents, they'll have season tickets. So, they haven't ever missed a game of mine, no matter where it's at. We played Boise State. We played Idaho in college. Anywhere I play, they'll be there. So it's pretty awesome. My parents like them.
So, and again, we're talking with the Seattle Dragons quarterback.
Maybe someday.
That was part of my next question, Brandon, is that still the goal, I would assume, that you're trying to work your way, and all these guys trying to work their way back to the NFL? When you were let go from the NFL, were there thoughts given to you, or just like, hey, man, you got to work on this part of your game, or this part of your game needs to improve? Was there any of that you focused on and said, all right, I'm going to work on this in the XFL, and hopefully I can get back to that level?
No, just more getting under center. At Troy, I was always spread, air raid guy. So, just getting in under center and being comfortable with that. And I think I've done a lot better job of doing that here under Coach Norton. So, I haven't really got told anything. I just know, that's probably it, because I came out of a spread air raid system and I played at Troy 4 years. So, I don't know, just getting under center and being comfortable taking drops underneath there is what I really focused on.
Okay, this might be kind of corny, but hey, you always do like team bonding type of things. You guys all come together. Has Coach Zorn or any of the coaches done anything to kind of get you guys together and bond? Because, watching you guys on the sideline, it looked like you're a pretty tight team.
Yeah, we're definitely pretty tight. A lot of people are not from Seattle, the area. So, when you're stranded in the middle of downtown, and no one knows really what to do, you kind of get close or just trying to figure out what everybody's doing after football. Mm-hmm. So, we go out to eat dinner a lot after, a full day of football. So I think everyone's just enjoying each other's company. A lot of people from Florida on the East Coast, so everyone's kind of figuring out, this whole Seattle downtown, area. So, it's been a fun experience, and I've had a few guys I play with before, and it's just been really fun.
Well, Brandon, congrats on the start to the season. I know it wasn't a win, but it's got to feel good to get a game under your belt. You head back home, the home opener coming up this weekend at CenturyLink Field. We're looking forward to it, man. Thanks so much for taking time with us, and hopefully we're talking again soon.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate y'all having me on.
There you go. There's Brandon Silvers, quarterback of your Seattle Dragons. The debut, home debut coming up this weekend.
I know they were mixed results, but I liked him. And who's the backup is BJ Daniels. We'll see a little more of him too. But
former Seahawk.
I thought it was a fun first game for the Dragons, even though they ended up losing. But still, overall, I thought it was a really good time watching the game.
Well, and people can weigh in. We've gotten a lot of texts. We'll open up the phone lines if you guys want to jump aboard on the phone lines and give us what you liked. What you didn't like? Did you watch it? If you didn't, I'd love to know why you didn't. If you're going to watch it again, did it lock you in? Did you feel like, this was fun?
My off base on this 3-point conversion. I know I'm.
Yeah,
I'm,
I don't.
I'm belaboring.
Have you had
point.
One person agree with you yet on that?
Well, the 3 points sound great.
It sounds entertaining,
but it's 4th and 10, like you said. That's the other thing too. Is you've got a compacted part of the field, right? There's 20 yards. There's not like any extra room. It gets kind of squished. Was that Pete said that one time?
It's kind of squished
down there. I think he did. Well, so I was like, thank you, Pete. That's the word I would say. It's squished down there.
Yeah, and a running play doesn't seem like the optimal play to call there. By the way, the phone number's for you, 421-3776, toll-free, 866-979-3776. Did you watch the XFL this weekend? What did you think? What did you like? What didn't you like? Want to hear from, again, a lot of people texting in at the beginning of the show saying they love the kickoff, they love the sideline interviews, they loved the rules, they loved everything.
The kickoff, just seeing it, was sure strange, wasn't it?
It was really weird, and I think Dave and I are on an island together.
I thought it was very boring, that part of it. I think that, and not because it's bad football, it's just because it lends itself to that. You have 10 guys lined up 5 yards apart from another 10 guys, and I just don't see that there's a lot of creativity. I guess if two guys knock their guy on his butt, you can, but the returner is a long ways away. It's going to take them a while to get there. And I feel like they should set it up so that there's more excitement
damn safety. Okay,
it's all about the safety.
Safety be damned.
It's all about safety.
Let's have fun. Let's make football violent again.
It's funny when we were talking to Clayton about that, and he goes, well, you know, they did that for safety reasons. The look on Dave's face, the second that came out of his mouth, was like,
I got Clayton to give a raspberry, too, when safety was mentioned. So, yeah, I was looking at their running game. Is not bad for, I think they came in third over the weekend as far as yardage. You know, this is what's very damning for the Chris and Michael. The St. Louis Battlehawks, yeah, they ran for 191 yards. C-Mike ran for zero. Seven carries for zero yards. But yeah, and then the other, I think the other good rushing team was maybe the Wildcats. But yeah, the Dragons ran for 97 yards. So having a good running game, and I thought they played, and we'll get into this later, but they played really well on the perimeter defensively. I thought they looked very well coached. Would you say Clayton Lopez is the defensive coordinator? I thought did a good job. Yeah, so let's hear from the callers.
All right, let's begin in Mill Creek. Brett is with us. Brett, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man. What'd you think?
Honestly, actually, really enjoyed it both days. It actually looked a lot better than the AAF, so that's a good win, I think.
So you're excited for the home run? This is something you'll continue to watch every weekend?
Exactly, yeah. Me and my buddies were actually going to the game on Saturday. We decided to buy some tickets because it actually, you know, it's just we got, what, eight more weeks of football, 10 more weeks of football, so heck yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, it's a perfect spot,
Brett,
in the schedule, isn't it? Yeah, thanks for calling, Brett.
Who knew that Ryan Divish was going to call in? Sounded just like him, didn't it?
He did a little
bit. He had a little more energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan's pretty laid back.
But right now you've got, what, Mariners pitchers and catchers reporting on Wednesday, and they're not going to be playing any games until March, and so it's just a good spot in the schedule. And I'm just wondering, I didn't really focus on the quality of play as much in this game as maybe later on. I thought the quality of play was pretty good, though. But that's going to be something that I think it's going to be needed to sustain it, because right now I think some of us, or at least I am, interested in all these different rules and bells and whistles that they have.
Once the quarterback play improves, and again, I'm not, you know, criticizing any of these guys, that's the one position that's going to be the hardest to get used to. I mean, timing with your receivers and things like that.
Landry Jones didn't play this weekend, did he?
I didn't see him. Any numbers from him?
He's supposed to be back next week, I think. But he's
the face of the league, according
to
that article.
With?
Supposedly.
Which team is he with?
Is he with the Battlehawks?
Yes.
Oh, nice call.
Are you serious?
I think you're... Maybe it was Dallas. I was watching the Dallas-St. Louis game yesterday, and I know it was in that game. It could be Dallas.
Now I got a 50-50 shot. 50-50. I totally guessed
right game.
On that. Totally guessed.
Let's head to awesome. Everett, bring in Dennis. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Bob, Dave, and Moore, how you doing, guys?
We're doing good, brother. What'd you think of the product over the weekend?
Well, initially I wasn't going to watch because I took a look at the contracts those players are playing under, non-negotiable, can't sue. I mean, you can actually make more money working in an office than you can working there. I just thought it was kind of union busting, but I'm a junkie, so I watched it. And love the new rules. The one thing I don't like is that quarterback wearing number 12. That is off limits. You're playing football in Seattle, you don't wear number 12. That's disrespect.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
To let him know.
Yeah, I didn't think of that either. I don't know if that was his choice or if they just assigned him that number.
Well, I would say this. I'll appreciate
the call, Dennis. Thanks, man.
I'll take playing football and getting the same pay as somebody working in an office than working in the office, because that's what we do.
Well, and the people that work in the office, they do it year-round. These guys have a 10-week season.
A lot of these guys were working those kind of jobs, and this is what they chose. So, I mean.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I hadn't thought about the 12 thing, but.
Will Dragons fans be called 12s, too, or that's already taken?
No, I don't think you can apply that to another organ. Even if it's in Seattle, you can't
12s,
do that.
You can't do that.
That's hallowed ground, Jim.
How about 11s?
The 11s.
This one goes to 11.
By the way, Landry Jones, Dallas Renegades quarterback.
Dallas
I knew it
Renegades.
Was within that game.
You know what? Yeah, it was damn close.
Way to burst his bubble.
No, it's all right. They played the Battle Hawks, though.
Let's head to Mukilteo. Brandon is here. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What'd you think?
Well, I thought it was cool. I liked how it was more like the fan experience. With the interviews, you know, I know it's like first week, it's kind of sloppy right now, but I like the idea. The going for three, I'm with Jim on this. I think it's like the NBA, you know, like they don't guard you as far out, making it kind of an easier, I mean, you're further from the goal, but it's an easier defense. So if you're really good, you could come up with some really good, you know, alternate three-point, you know, from that distance plays, you know, that I think would be just as successful as a one-point play.
Hey, Brandon, you call in anytime you want. And Brandon, just to back up what you're saying there, the XFL this week, yeah. they had the one-point conversion. They were 4-for-11 on the one-point conversion, so it's not a slam dunk you're going to get the one.
Mm-hmm.
From the two-point conversion, 3-for-8, so not a slam dunk from the five-yard lane either. And then no one had a wild hair to go for a three-point conversion, so I'm with you, Brandon.
Yeah, I think it's evolving, Jim. I think you're going to see more people going for threes, just like basketball, and it rewards that, and so why not?
I think the Dragons are gonna, they should hire you and me as analytics guys.
No, they want to win.
Hey, I'm with you on that.
Hey, Brandon, appreciate the phone call.
Not sure about the comparison. Yeah, 3-point
thanks,
shot.
Brother.
Wait. Yeah, Brandon had something else to say.
No, we got to go.
We're late. Oh,
sorry,
late.
Brandon. I love Brandon for coming.
Yeah, I know. The first person to agree with you, you're going to hang on to him like grim death. All right. We appreciate all the calls. Coming up, our Seahawks free agency preview continues with someone Walter Jones told us the Seahawks need to keep. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We continue with our Seahawks free agent list. We've identified our top 10. For those of you just tuning in, aren't familiar with what we've been doing each day, we take a look at one of the players on this top 10 list and debate whether they stay or whether they go. And right now we're at, where are we at? Number 6 on the list, working our way up. Starting at 10, working our way up. And at number 6 on the list, George Fant. George Fant, a guy I think we all like. I think everybody likes George Fant. He overcame a very serious knee injury. At one point, he looked like he was going to be the left tackle of the future and then suffered that knee injury. Seahawks then make a move to bring in Dwayne Brown from Houston. And here we are. Now, here's before we talk about what he said and what he would like to do, is there any debate that you'd want him back?
Or? Yeah, no, there's not a debate. Yeah, that I can't tell you when I was going through and looking at that first quarter, you know, those just looking at how fast the Seahawks got started and everything, and we talked about those numbers. Can't tell you how many times George Fant reports, G Fant, over and over and over again.
He's always eligible.
Yeah, he is. He only got one throw. I don't know what that was about last year when everybody was talking about throwing him the ball. I
was on the opposite side. I was on the island last year. Going, yeah. I'm putting
was it zero
over
this year?
Three, yeah. One this year.
Yeah, he had one that was out of bounds.
I don't know how many times that he, you know, he may have been out in the route and we didn't notice, but that one, he actually tried to adjust, but I mean, come on. That's something you catch somebody by surprise down on the goal line. You know, you see that every once in a while, but it's not something that you even come close to living on. So, but yeah, I mean, he's got such good feet, and I think that's one of the things that I've heard, and maybe we can talk to Ray Roberts about this. I know that Ray doesn't feel that George is a tackle in this league, but you know, he's got great
feet. George thinks that.
Feet. Yeah, he does. George thinks that he's a left tackle and he wants to start. So, I mean, that's the thing I think would maybe make people shy away from him because he says basically that he didn't want to be here. But according to the GOAT, Walter Jones, he needs to be here.
George Fant have done a lot here. I think the number one, for me personally, I think you got to bring George Fant back. You know, George Fant have done a lot here. Have done, you know, have given up a lot too, but I think he had an opportunity to learn from a great guy at Dwayne Brown. So I think that's one guy I think you got to try to get back. But I'm fearful for him because I know once he go out there and test the market, you know what I'm saying, he got enough tape on film. They had him playing an extra block at tight end, and then those couple of games that Dwayne missed, he got an opportunity to go out there and get some stuff on film in tough situations. So I think he's a guy that I'm definitely thinking that the Seahawks are going to definitely try to bring back because he's a great commodity for the Seahawks.
Now, as much as Pete preaches compete, is there any part of you that believes that he would actually compete with Dwayne Brown for that spot?
No.
Yeah, and I don't. Walter would tell you that too.
So, what would the selling point? I'm trying to picture how Pete and John would sit him down and try to sell him on staying here. If, and again, we'll just take him at his word that hey, I want to start and I want to start at left tackle. If that's his mindset, truly. If you're Pete and John, how do you sell him on? Well, you know what? You're not going to be a left tackle here, but.
Well, I thought the selling point might be Dwayne Brown's age and contract, and I was just looking at the details here, but Brown's under contract. If he was just under contract through 2020, then you could sell
easier
him on.
Sell. Yeah.
Hey, you know, you just hang in there for one more year. We'll use you in the jumbo package. If Fetty's leaving, maybe we'll have you start at right tackle or something along those lines, but Brown's under contract through 2021. And then I would think that Brown would still be effective. He's going to be 35 this year, 36 next year. And then he'll probably be ending his career. But I don't know if George Fant wants to wait that long. And we'll see. I feel like you guys probably do, too. As much as you want him to stay here, Fant's probably going to want to try something different. Somewhere where he can be a left tackle.
Well, we'll see what the market bears for him. You know, it's just always wise to go look at the market.
Yeah, I don't blame him at all to do.
It'd be like
doing that.
It'd be like selling your house right now in a private sale versus, you know, it's what one person thinks as opposed to putting it out on the market. You know, you might get bid up. That's kind of what's going on right now in real estate here. You know, for George, who knows how other people value him. But, you know, the fact that he said, well, I want to start and I want to play left tackle, I don't think that that's set in stone in his mind. I mean, I think he's just being, you know, he's being optimistic, but I think there's still a very good chance that they'll, you know, they could get him back here. Maybe the market doesn't go crazy for George, and that he's able to, you know, get back here and play right tackle and possibly, you know, excel at that position. But I think, you know, we don't take it that seriously. The fact that he, you know, made those comments, that does not mean that that's set in stone. In other words.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, because it's all we have, right? We hear him say, it's like Clowney saying, I want to play for a winner. It's not all about the money. So we take that and we latch on to it and say, okay, he's going to give the team a discount because it's a winning team, it's a playoff team, and he's not going to go play for the Cleveland Browns.
He's not, but if you're one of those losing teams, you say to him, hey, well, Jadeveon, if you come here, we won't be a loser anymore.
So, maybe.
Especially if the money's right.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying when we hear those things, that's all we have to go on. We don't know, is that a strategy in terms of negotiation? Like, hey, I'm a left tackle. I'm a starting caliber left tackle. I want to be paid in that neighborhood. Maybe it's a negotiating ploy. Maybe he would be, you know, pliable. He'd say, you know, okay, I'll play right tackle or I'll play right guard or wherever they want to put him. You know, but I want this kind of money because you know you can put me in at left tackle and I should be a left tackle, but I'm gonna play this spot you need me at. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out the motive behind
myself,
saying that.
Well, I'm putting myself into his shoes and what, 2 years ago he was projected to be the starting left tackle here in Seattle until he blew out the ACL in the preseason game against Minnesota. So I'm sure he still considers himself long term and wants to be a left tackle and I'll bet you there's gonna be all kinds of I don't know about all kinds of offers, but there's bound to be teams out there looking for a good, solid left tackle, and he appears to fit that, but maybe he's just, you know, an average left tackle. But I would think even if you're an average left tackle, you're going to get paid in the NFL.
Boy, he's got a great starting point, and that's his feet. And we know that because of basketball, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, maybe with a Fetty where there's problems.
With his feet.
His feet are just not that good, and George Fant's are great. But, you know, he also is lacking all of the time and, you know, the reps that have been put in by most players in the NFL over the years, and he was playing basketball, but still he's a great great athlete, and you start there, and you know, and there's a lot of stuff with your hands and everything. But it's so nice to have a good left tackle, and you know, if he can play right, but even if he doesn't, I just think the Seahawks would love to have him, you know, and continue to put him in. And I'll figure out what percentage of plays he was in on, but you know, he was a huge part of the offense this year.
Yeah, I would say if we do take him at his word, or let's just hypothetically say, yeah, that is what he wants, and he's digging his heels in, then he's going to be gone.
Right.
I mean, that's the hard truth about it. If he is serious about what he said, and we're just, again, going on his comments, I want to start at left tackle, that's not going to happen here. They have a guy they've invested in, a guy who's still considered, despite, you know, where he's at age-wise, a guy who's still considered one of the premier left tackles in this league. Pete preaches compete, all that. I don't think they're competing.
No, I don't either, but the thing, it could change if Fetty leaves in free agency, and then if you said to George Fant, okay, look, George, we'll give you that right tackle, and we'll give you a starting right tackle salary as opposed to a backup type salary, being a backup left tackle and then doing the jumbo package thing. I'm sure he's going to get a better offer elsewhere where he'll have a better opportunity.
Well, here's the other thing, too, and I'm going back to kind of what I was trying to explain is, you know, did we – was that for sure? Did he make a proclamation? I want to start at left tackle.
I don't think it was that definitive. I think he just said, I want to start
right
at left tackle.
Don't you say that at the end of the year? I mean, would you go, well, I'll be all right to be a backup here? You don't want him saying that, right?
Well, no, his agent probably wanted him to say, hey, I just want to go wherever the best opportunity is. I don't care if it's left tackle, right tackle, doesn't matter.
You know what my agent used to not want me to say? Is when I would say in the paper, I'd play this game for free.
Yeah, that sounds like sound advice from
you
an
should
agent.
Not say that anymore.
Hey, that Wyman guy, yeah, we can get him for cheap.
But I really love it.
He'll play for free. Let's throw him a couple bucks. He'll be happy. All right, coming up, we'll stick with the Seahawks. The question is out there on Ziggy Ansah. Was he a mistake, and did his presence impact the development of one other specific player? We'll get into that conversation next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. Ziggy Ansah, we talked a bit about him before. Do you look at that as a mistake? I initially looked at that and said, well, at the time I was excited because of who he was as a player. Now we didn't have a lot of info in terms of the injury and how long that was going to take. You knew he wasn't going to start training camp and all of that. But then you fast forward to the end of the year and you look at what you paid him, and again, you looked it up the other day, almost $8 million. You're looking at what he provided, how often he was out there. You feel like, okay, just didn't work out. But we didn't blame John and Pete for taking a swing. On Danny and Gallant this morning, they were discussing Ziggy, and they had an interesting take between the two of them here.
I like the contract to AJ or to Ziggy Ansah, and not because it worked out well, but because the downside to it, if it doesn't work out, it's just sort of rinse, lather, repeat. You're like, okay, he didn't work out, he's gone. But are you going to get someone that's going to have a better a more upside than AJ Green?
Possibly,
I think he's got that highest combination.
But I mean, the big problem with playing Ansah, trying to make Ziggy Ansah a thing like Fetch might have cost you putting a guy like a LJ Collier on the field more and giving him more opportunities. You tried and tried and tried to make Ziggy Ansah a thing, and it just never happened. After a certain point, you got to wonder, okay, like, well, how did we cost ourselves long term by trying to go with this guy that clearly didn't have it anymore? I'm not saying
that's a really good point, Paul. That you're right.
I don't think it is. Sorry. I don't think Ziggy got in the way of LJ Collier one bit, because Ziggy wasn't there for a good portion of the season, couldn't play full games. LJ Collier got in his own way. Sorry, he didn't develop the way they wanted. They had a desperate need, even with Ziggy there, they had a desperate need for somebody like LJ to step up. He didn't step up, and in my opinion, it had nothing to do with the presence of Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah, well, I'd have to go back and look, but there were probably some games where LJ Collier was inactive the same week that Ziggy was. So it's what do you have, Dave? Three tackles all year?
Three.
Yeah, and you just look
152 snaps, something like that.
Mm-hmm. I've just decided, though, that I'm going to give Collier, I'm going to cut him some slack and see how he does next year. And I'm just basing that on missing training camp with the injury that he had, the high ankle sprain. And we'll see. And if he doesn't work out next year, then you can chalk him up as a bust, I suppose.
Well, how much did Ziggy make? And I'm asking you that, Jim, because my stupid-ass computer's not working.
Well,
right now.
I think I'm not sure what his base was, but
million?
I think it was up to $8 million or something like that. But only 2.5 sacks he came up with, and then one was in garbage time at Arizona. But he had his only good game was at Philadelphia when Clowney was out, and he came up with a sack and a half that day.
I keep going back to Pete talking about him, and I thought that he was going to say negative things, and instead he was like, look, he hustles. You know, he's trying. That's what I've seen from him. I've seen Ziggy Ansah hustle his tail off. I mean, he gets around the field and a lot of times making tackles downfield. They dropped him back into zone like in a zone blitz type of thing where you bring a linebacker and drop a D lineman to try to confuse the offense and dropped him back, you know, 10 yards trying to cover passes. And then he would go flying around making tackles. I loved everything about his hustle. I think he's a fantastic looking athlete. But he was just hurt. You know, he had that shoulder. It was really bad. And he was slight. I saw him working out in the weight room before the, I think it was in Philadelphia for the playoff game. And I was like, wow, this guy looks very impressive. You know, when you see him and, you know, he's not in a uniform. He's in shorts and T-shirt working out in there. And they were putting him through all these stretches and everything. But it just, when Pete said, hey, look, this guy can't work hard enough to keep the weight on. And that's what the problem is. You know, that was kind of a relief to me.
Do you buy that he got in the way of LJ's progression at all? I'm sorry, I just don't buy that at all.
Well,
they were both, by the way, they both played in 11 games. They were both active for 11 games.
Yeah, I mean, they were looking for anybody that could play. I mean, I don't know what to say about LJ Collier. I kind of have said this year I was surprised that they didn't play the rookies as much. Mm-hmm. That's not a Pete thing that usually he does. But I don't know, LJ Collier, there was nothing really, there was not a time where I saw him and went, wow, look at that. I mean, we saw that with Blair. We saw it with Amadi. You know, we talked about...
Certainly saw it with DK.
Yeah, definitely with him. I mean, he was like a professional football player. He's like in his fifth year. He was so good.
Even Burkervin on special teams you saw with him. I mean, it felt like most of the young guys that they did play had a moment here or there where you went, oh, that was a great play or that was a great moment. With
Martin.
Collier, I'm stunned that he was active for 11 games. I don't, you know... That's not a lot of snaps, 152 or 3, whatever it was, over 11 games.
Active for 11 games with three tackles.
Three tackles.
Your first-round pick.
Yeah. And listen, like you, I haven't bailed on him, and I'm not saying, oh, this was a bust and what a terrible pick. It may end up being that, and he's certainly the leash is shorter now. All eyes are on him. Like, all right, man, you got to show something. You know, I don't think anybody's saying, all right, disaster, he's never going to amount to anything. We'll see. I'll give him another year. I just don't buy the part as it relates to Ziggy Ansah that Ansah's presence impacted the development of LJ Collier because of what you just said. They were looking for anybody to help. So if this guy had the goods, he was going to get out there because Ansah, even though he has 11 games technically he was active for, he wasn't out there all the time. He wasn't playing every snap. There were games he hardly played at all. So
yeah,
you needed Collier.
Well, you figured he was going to pop. I'm sure Schneider thought that they were going to get a lot out of him, and they were basing everything, their projections, the defensive line, on Collier being much better than he was. And I was just looking, too. I remember when they had Clowney and Ziggy Ansah, and I thought maybe they would get 15 sacks between them, something like that. Bob, you always talk about Clowney not having more than 9 or 9.5 down in Houston, but... Boy, I thought Ziggy Ansah, and you look back and you were hoping, man, if he can just get back from that shoulder injury. He had 12 sacks in 2017 with the Lions, and then you went back a couple more years, 14.5 sacks in 2015. Even if you got half that amount from him and 7 or 8 from Clowney, you'd be right around in that 15 neighborhood, and you ended up with a combined 5.5 for both of them.
Not great.
That would have put them up in their total of where they've been over the last few years, you know. And, you know, we talked about all of the things in sack extravaganza that sacks got you. I mean, there were zero touchdowns. They got turnovers. They, you know, lots of punts, of course. But, man, yeah, that would have been so helpful. And I thought just looking at those numbers, it was very clear how big of a deal those sacks are. So that's the biggest. Like I said last week, I don't remember an offseason since we've been doing this show where it's more clear of what they need.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was made crystal clear. By the way, before we move on, text from the 206. God, I love Dave. Dave is just an everyman like us, cursing at his computer.
It's funny that, you know, that I would gain some favor by cursing at my computer, which is probably one of the more inane things that you can do in your life, screaming at an inanimate object. The next step would be to punch it, which I felt like.
Yeah, you did.
And, oh, that would feel good.
It would, wouldn't it? You just want to break something.
Didn't you punch your computer one time, Jim?
No, I threw it to the I threw it to the pavement.
I punched mine one time. And didn't you say the guy asked you, did that feel good?
Kathy did.
Oh.
Yeah, it felt really good until I found out from the Post Intelligence Sir that I was going to owe $1,800 for that computer.
Not so good. Ouch.
They took $100 out of my next 18 checks.
Oh. Yeah. You can't spend $1,800 on a laptop anymore, can you?
No, but that was
back then.
Back in the day.
Back when they were still VCRs.
That was a big heavy crash to the cement.
It still felt good.
Okay. Coming up, we'll talk some more football. See what the professor thought of the first week of the XFL. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow. You sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
We learned a lot of stuff today. I feel like we did. My head is full.
Did you guys anticipate that there would be this much XFL talk?
I was hoping there would be.
Lots of legs. We got lots of callers.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Seems like most people did. So that's good news for everybody. Everybody's happy. What did we learn today, Maura?
We learned that Jim and Michael Bennett can both be jerks.
He's mellowed a little bit. He could help out that pass rush with his veteran presence. That was my premise anyway. But if someone wants to take exception with that, I completely understand because I think Michael can be a jerk.
So, he just makes a massive case as to why he thinks bringing him back would be perfect. Well, all the numbers.
I know firsthand he can be a jerk.
Maybe he's grown up. We've buried the hatchet. We had an event with Brock. It's all kumbaya.
In his defense,
ends it with he can be a jerk.
I can be a jerk too. So.
Oh, well. Yeah, I'm glad that you've come to that realization.
Jeez. Jim covered all of his bases with that. Made a sterling case in favor of Michael Bennett. Talked about burying the hatchet with him, which I didn't even know. It'd be a great move to bring him back. But then, yeah, you know, he can be a jerk.
But then so can I be a jerk. So, yeah.
Can't we all?
Everything. No, not me, Jim.
I know you can be a jerk. Bob, can you be a jerk?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Ask Maura. She'll tell you.
Maura can't be a jerk.
I didn't say she was a jerk.
No, I know.
You can say you're a jerk.
I thought it was good that Jim covered all the bases there.
Yeah. I would say that Michael Bennett has a better chance of being a jerk more often than all of us in this room, though.
Yeah. But maybe he's grown up, Jim.
Well, maybe not you, Dave.
Oh.
That's fine. I'll take that. Remember how much fun he was in the beginning?
He was laughing with us, joking. Remember how much the fans loved him when he rode off on his boat, the cop bicycle celebrating? Yeah. I mean, the fans loved Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
That was a swift turn. That was a fall from grace.
What happened? When did everybody get so angry?
Yeah. I don't know.
They got tired of winning?
After the Super Bowl, I guess.
Yeah.
What else did we learn?
Dave has a very specific reason for not liking Philip Rivers' face.
Yeah, I said about him is that I want to plant one of these right in his suck hole. But just because I don't like the way he talks and screams and yells.
He's a smack talker. He doesn't curse, though, Dave.
You know what I don't like, Bob? That, and also I don't like the way his lips move over his teeth. It just bothers me.
He's got a punchable face.
He does.
I laugh at that every time, and I've heard it probably 10 times.
I feel like that's a very rational approach to Philip Rivers.
Just watch it. Next time you see him, yell or whatever.
I'm with you.
Look at his mouth.
He just looks like he's whiny, and he's just like, I'm with you.
He's a great dude, though. Apparently.
I'm sure he's a great guy. Sports hate, though, you like to form a line, and let me just take a crack.
Yeah.
20 interceptions this year.
Yeah, not a good year. And it's going to be weird to see him in another uniform. I don't know where it'll be, but it's going to be odd.
I don't know if we can air this. It might need to be cut. But what I always say whenever they mention
buckle up, kids.
How many kids that he's had, I always say, you know who I feel sorry for?
His wife.
His wife's uterus.
Oh, my God.
It can be rough on a body.
I mean,
I'd probably cut that.
Would you?
Yeah, it's borderline.
Leaving it in. It's fine.
Leave it in?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I, as the woman in the room, have no comment.
No comment.
All right.
Way to take a stand. I, as the woman in the room,
I don't
have, no
have
comment.
Nine kids. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I think that'd be rough on everybody.
And everything.
Yes.
Let's roll the dice and leave it in.
See if all three of us are here tomorrow.
Jim wants to roll the dice. That's so weird.
No.
Yeah, and it's based on my career.
It'll be like, hey, well, boss, I said I wasn't in favor of that.
Would there be anything more satisfying for you than hearing Dave got called up upstairs and chewed out?
No, I'd feel bad about that.
Because of Jim.
Yeah.
No, I would feel bad
being
about
the
that.
Devil.
What else did we learn, Maura?
We learned that Jim made a new friend.
you're going to see more people going for threes, just like basketball, and it rewards that. And so why not?
I think the Dragons are going to – they should hire you and me as analytics guys.
No, they want to win.
Hey, I'm with you on that.
Hey, Brandon, appreciate the phone call.
Oh, not sure about the comparison 3-point
Thanks,
shot.
Brother.
Wait. Yeah. Brandon had something else to say.
No, we got to go to break.
We're late.
Oh,
we're
sorry,
late.
Brandon. I love Brandon for coming.
Yeah, I know. The first person to agree with you, you're going to hang on to him like grim death.
I've never.
Good one, Bob.
Hang on to him like grim death.
That's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, I didn't.
When he was talking to Uncle Leo.
So I didn't know.
Yeah. Right? You should hold on to her like
grim death. Yeah, you found a caller that agreed with your theory on going for 3 points at all times in the XFL. Everybody else that's heard it has rolled their eyes and just kind of humored you.
Why? I laid out
you.
The stats why they should be going for three.
The Seattle Dragons quarterback told you why?
Well, I just like how you were trying to pitch Brandon Silvers. Like, he's allowed to just override Jim Zorn and go for three.
He's going to go in there and lobby for it.
It's also three times as many points and five times as many yards.
Can I ask you something?
The analytics don't line up.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
If you go for the 3-point conversion from the 10-yard line three times, and you make it
0-for-3,
and you make it once, that equals three
1-point
conversions.
What if you go 0-for-3?
There's just that one little fly in the ointment. Is that it's really hard to pick up a 1st and 10.
How about just having a wild hair though? And just like, it's the XFL.
It's going to happen.
This isn't, people don't want to see conservative crap like in the NFL and punting on 4th and 1.
You want to see your team win. And when they're in a position where they need to go for three, you're going to see it. They have the option. That's the beauty of it.
Well,
it's
if
there.
I'm a coach, I'm not wanting to get fired. That's my motivation.
Why would no one even try it in the first weekend? They didn't even try one.
You're impatient. It's going to happen.
I know.
It's going to happen. That's everything, Maura?
Everything.
All right. Well, thanks to our guests today, John Clayton and Brandon Silvers, for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, just head to the podcast page at 710sports.com and click that podcast button, then click on our picture. It's right there waiting for you each and every day. We're back tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
In this day and age now, you can't pick up guys and dump them on their head.